Yeah, excellent. Nice weekend. Got a lot of work done, so I got no complaints. Yeah, none. So
good deal.
Yeah. So, Laura.
Yeah, let's jump into it. There was interest rates are dropping. How could the interest rates drop any further?
I think bond market is low. I think this is people are just, you know, they're trying to figure out what to do. So, yeah, interest rates are dropping. So, excellent time to get in and get refinanced or buy a house or whatever. Yeah. So, anyway.
I'm also seeing the real estate market soften a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, in Jackson, unless you're in that sweet spot between about 150 to 250, I think it's softening. It's you'll still get good money, but you're just not seeing the multiple offers come in like you would in that sweet spot area. And I also think that people are out and about now, right? Last year they were tied up, and what else could you do but buy a house, I guess? And
No, I don't think that.
I mean, that's kind of an exaggeration, but yeah. I do think it's slowing down a little bit because people can travel, they can go to graduation parties, they can take the mask off if they've been inoculated, so...
I beg to differ with you because there was a pent-up demand, certainly, but in a lot of places that demand is still continuing.
Well,
so you may see a little softening in the Jackson market, but it sure isn't happening elsewhere.
Well, I understand that. I'm not saying that the pent-up demand is still not there. I'm just saying that people aren't as focused on housing as they were before we could remove the mask. They've just
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, but I was talking to a realtor yesterday in northern Michigan, and she submitted an offer on behalf of buyers, full price offer. There were 9 other offers. They upped theirs by $5,000 above the list price, and they actually put in an escalation clause, and they still lost out to somebody else. I mean, so the market is not, I mean, you may be right that it depends upon the house. I think that's true.
I think it depends upon the price, too.
No doubt. I mean, it's got to be priced right. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But,
yeah.
I mean,
every market is going to have its sweet spot. Where Jackson County's sweet spot is about 150 to 250. Those houses are hard to get your hands on, especially if they're neat, clean, and, you know, ready to roll.
Yeah, I also read an article over the weekend about the Department of Justice has reneged on a proposed settlement with the National Association of Realtors regarding realtor fees. And I read the article, and I had to shake my head because I'm sitting here listening to this realtor yesterday who worked her tail off to not only make the original offer, but to try and negotiate against 8 other offers, and the deal doesn't come together. So she doesn't get paid at all for all the work that was done. And yet the Department of Justice is claiming that real estate agents are overpaid, that the system in which a seller pays all the commission and then the listing agent or listing broker shares that commission with the buyer is an antiquated system that needs to be changed. And there's a lawsuit, huge lawsuit, federal lawsuit going on in which the Department of Justice is going after the National Association of Realtors. And I think it's a wrong-headed approach because there's a lot of competition between realtors. And I'm just taking you as an example. There are lots of times when you put forth a hell of a lot of effort, the deal doesn't come together, and you don't get paid for all that effort. So, you know, it'd be nice if you could do things on an hourly basis the same way that I do things.
Yeah, well, there'd be a lot of people who wouldn't be represented then.
Yeah, I know, because they can't afford it, right? It's got to come out of the sale proceeds of the house. Anyway,
right.
So I didn't mean to get on that tangent.
Yeah, but you did, and now you've opened a can of worms. The other thing I'm seeing is I get calls from out-of-town realtors and say, can I set up a time for you to show my buyer your listing? And I go, no, you need to come and show the listing. If it's your buyer, I'm not showing it. They don't want to drive to town in case the buyer doesn't like it or in case they have to negotiate and they don't get the offer. Or
yeah,
someone may be related to somebody from out of town. and they go directly to the listing agent, and then they have their agent write the offer.
Yeah.
That's a complete yeah. number. I've had to educate a few buyers in that situation. And who wants? Like I had a call from another buyer who wanted me, who was just calling listing agents because he felt that his agent wasn't getting back to him quick enough about houses that come on the market.
Obviously, as a realtor, you have to ask the buyer: are you represented by somebody? And the instant they say they're represented, you can't do anything with that buyer.
Right. Right, but the buyers don't know that because the realtor that's representing them doesn't tell them.
Yeah, I get it. I understand completely. Okay.
You know, they want to take the easy way out. And besides, as a buyer in the market, I want someone local who knows the market and the prices of the houses.
Right.
We're seeing a lot of Ann Arbor realtors come to town, and we're seeing our prices escalate, which is great for my sellers. It's awesome for my sellers because we'll get a lot more dollar because Ann Arbor prices are so much higher than ours. So I won't complain there, but if you're a buyer out there, just beware if you're using an out-of-town realtor. And I know this show reaches all the way to England.
Well, the other thing that troubles me is Zillow and the fact that people, you know, sellers particularly, there are other sites than Zillow, but, you know, they go to these sites and they get a false notion of what their property is worth simply because Zillow doesn't have a clue. Zillow's worse than an out-of-town buyer's agent because they just don't know. They don't know Zillow doesn't know the market. So anyway, that's just the rant. I really wanted to talk about multiple offers this morning, and I don't know that we have time to do that.
Well, you can start it.
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, because that is a real issue. Didn't you just finish one in which there were eight multiple offers? Wasn't that you?
Yeah, my buyer did not get it. I had another one that I had a client call on, and it was less than 1,100 square feet and in a nice, good area west of town. And the list price, the highest offer came in at 35,000 above list price. And the agent was a smart agent, and she took the one that was only
the agent for the seller.
Yeah, the agent for the seller was is a very good agent, and she took the I think she said they were going to negotiate the offer that was a little bit less than $20,000 less than the highest offer. Now, why would she do that, you might ask?
Because it was a cash deal.
No, it was fine. Both of them were financing. She had five offers. The two highest were $20,000 apart. Anybody can throw an offer out there. So the one that was $35,000 higher, she didn't think it was going to appraise at that price because this was less than 1,100 square feet ranch, and it was on less than an acre, and she didn't think it was going to appraise, so she went with the one that she thought was more likely to get the appraisal. Because you can throw it. I mean, I could have thrown an offer $40,000 higher, but that doesn't, and then I've got the deal locked in. And then then when the appraisal doesn't come in, now you're negotiating whether or not you got any extra cash to throw at the table.
Right. In other words, the buyer comes back and says, no, it didn't appraise at the price I offered, so I need to negotiate the price down to what the appraisal is. And by that time, the other offer is gone. The person has found another property.
Right. Sorry. And the one that was more fair, the offer that was probably more realistic for the price of the house. So just because you throw a stupid price at the house doesn't mean that, you know, that's what you should
pay. But aren't you seeing that throwing a stupid price at a house, that the appraisal still comes in at that stupid price?
No, because what I found out is that appraisers are liable for the appraisal that they give the bank for five years after they give the bank, bank. So if that buyer defaults, unless the bank is really certain that that buyer isn't going to default, the seller or the agent, the appraiser is going to be hung on that appraisal.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. I agree with that. I just was wondering whether or not your current appraisals were coming in right at the sale price, because you are providing a copy of the purchase agreement to the appraiser.
Yeah, only if they're more apt to come in close or at sale price if they are certain that is a solid buyer.
Right. I mean, I've represented a couple of appraisers in proceedings before the state in which complaints were filed by the lender against the appraiser for not doing a proper appraisal, not just for overvaluing the property, but for not conducting a proper appraisal, not going through the appropriate procedures. What the two most recent cases I had were where they just did windshield appraisals, didn't bother going behind the property, looking for encroachments, et cetera. So, I get that.
Well, and remember that appraiser is seeing that purchase agreement. So if it's a stupid price and it's a FHA 3.5% down, that appraisal is going to be a lot more tight than if it's 20% down conventional.
Yeah, right.
The more skin in the game the buyer has, the more likely the appraisal will come in.
Right, and the more likely the loan's going to be made. There's no doubt. But how many 20% conventional mortgage deals are you doing these days?
I think you see a lot more than you used to see, that's for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That surprises me that's happening. But what I'd like to do is, over the next couple of weeks, is talk about offers, counteroffers, acceptances, contingencies, multiple offers, and use of escalation clauses. And my advice to sellers who have multiple offers coming in, how to handle those multiple offers. I am not a fan of what most listing agents do, which is simply say, okay, if I got five people competing for it, the listing agent says simply, okay, give me your highest and best offer by 5 p.m. on July 14, my client takes the best offer. The problem with the two problems. The highest and best is often subject it's a subjective criteria. It's not just price, but a buyer who makes an offer at a higher price believes that is the sole criterion by which the seller should be making the decision. And if they don't get it because the seller takes a lower offer, lower price, then you've got a potential lawsuit by that buyer saying, in fact, you said you're going to take highest and best. I have the highest and best. More importantly, from the seller's side, is what you have is the agent is doing a disservice to the seller, in my opinion, because if you got five people out there bidding against it and you say, give me your highest and best, you're not negotiating or leveraging or ratcheting the price up. I may have, I got to start with five buyers, so we say, come in at this amount, come in higher, et cetera. So.
Yeah, well, and we can use that example I gave you just moments ago great example. Because that agent was looking out for the seller's best interest, which hats off to her.
So, you're running out of time, aren't you?
I am. Wasn't I doing a good segue there?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's on the market. So I've got a wonderful 4-bedroom, 4.5-bath, 4 fireplaces. 4 must be the lucky number, although the address is 777 Bloomfield Boulevard, one of my favorite streets in the city. It's beautiful. One of the few boulevard streets in the city. One of my favorite backyards, and it's a 2-car detached garage, full finished basement with daylight windows, an open floor plan from the kitchen to the family room with a 3 Seasons room and another, they actually have 2 3 Seasons rooms.